Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 22. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law and its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Now, boys and girls, especially, if you've drifted off, if that's a long reading, I want you to concentrate, because this is the bit we're really thinking about today, okay? Verse 19 onwards. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. If I asked you to finish the following sentence, how would you do it? Okay, so church is dot, dot, dot. Let's think about it for a moment. Church is dot, dot, dot. How would you finish that sentence? I guess for many, if we were to wander around the streets and say, what is church? They would say, oh, it's that building on the edge of the estate that we live on. For some of us, we might say, well, hang on, church is just something I go to on a Sunday. You know, you wake up on Sunday, it's time to go to church. And for some of us, we might say church is boring. Church is irrelevant. Church, I just get dragged along by mum and dad every week. I just have to come in, sit down, I endure for a couple of hours, and then we go. Maybe that's what church is to you. For some of us, church, we might sit here and say, well, church is my family. Church is who I belong with. But some of us, we might say, well, it's like a club I belong to. Maybe you think church is more like joining a gym. You know, oh, look, there's a selection of gyms around Enfield, Enfington area, you know, and there's a church up there, and they've got this and this equipment, and they like singing these songs, and
and oh, well, that's quite a good one. But then there's this other one down here, and you know, they're really friendly, and they're a little bit smaller, and maybe, you know, you kind of look at it like a gym, and you think, well, it's something I pick to go to, like a club that I belong to.
Maybe that's your view of church this morning. Perhaps for others of you, church, you kind of think, well, church is kind of an optional extra for me. Church is something that I go to if I want to, but I don't really need to. Maybe that's your view of church. Now listen, if any of those have clicked with you, maybe you're not, and you're just kind of got a different view, come and share that with me afterwards. But what I want to do this morning is that I want to show you, in the context of this series we're doing, going through the Bible, I want to show you that church is much bigger than any of those individual things that I've mentioned. Church is more than a building. Church is so much more than a club that you belong to. Church is so much more than an event you come along to on a Sunday morning. Church, if you see it in the context of what we've been doing over 7 weeks, let me put it like this. Church is the home of God on earth. Church is where God can be found on earth today, where he can be encountered and engaged in relationship. Church is the temple, the living temple of God here on earth. Now, I need to put a new picture up. If you're new here today, you're probably thinking, what are these weird pictures behind us? I'll explain them in a while, but here is the next step of the story. Church is a key piece of this story that's unfolding through the scripture. It's a key piece of how God, Creator God, is gathering people to himself and saying, I'm committed to relationship. I want relationship with you. And church is his key piece of doing it as we move towards this one day in history when God will come and heaven and earth will be joined and God will be our God and we will be his people. Church, it's not just an add-on. It is central to the story of God bringing about this forever home. If you have been with us over the last 7 weeks, we've been going through this story. And we've seen that the Bible is, yeah, I mean, it's a whopper of a book, right? If you put that on someone's lap and said, this is how you'll know God, people will be looking at you thinking, it's huge. But actually, it's just one story. And at its heart is one man, the God-man Jesus. And it's a story that's all heading in one direction, to this place, to this day. God's forever home is coming. We've sung about it. We've sung praises about it this morning. We've looked forward to it. There is a day that all creation's waiting for. What is it? It's this day. God's forever home is coming, where there'll be no mourning, no death, no sickness, no pain. And God's rescued and cleaned up people will be with him forever. That's where the whole Bible story is heading. And as we've journeyed through the Bible, we have seen, we have encountered that God wants to dwell with his people. He wants to be at home with them. He wants to be near them. He pursues relationship with them. We saw it back in Genesis chapter 1 in the garden. He dwelt on earth in this garden with Adam and Eve in near relationship. They walked with him and they talked with him and he blessed them and he provided for them. Sin meant they got rejected from that. But then we saw it again that God pursues relationship. He comes and he dwells in a tent. Now you can't fit God in a tent. But it's this idea that he kind of focuses his presence down so that he can engage in relationship with people. And in the tent he rescued a people to himself and he cleaned them up. He made them holy. And he says, you can come near. But not too near, because there was a curtain that kept them apart. We saw it in the temple, that this permanent structure that says God wants to live with us, not just for a little while, but forever. And then we've seen it last week, if you were with us, gloriously, where the whole story kind of climaxes in Jesus. Jesus is God at home on earth. And how do people encounter God? How does God come and pursue relationship with us? It's through his Son. In Jesus, we come near to God by faith, and he cleans us from our sin as he sacrificed his life on the cross. And he assures us of an eternal home because he's raised from the dead and he lives forever and he will not see decay. And by faith in Jesus, we come near to God. That's the story. But it poses us a conundrum, doesn't it? Because after Jesus' resurrection, where did he go? He returned to heaven. For, you know, a while after he was raised from the dead, he returned to the right hand of his Father, where he reigns now, living alive. But the question is, isn't it, given what we've seen through the Bible, where do you find God on earth today? Jesus isn't wandering around in person anymore. Where do you go to find God? And the answer that Ephesians gives us, which is why we've read this, is that he dwells in his church by his Spirit. Can you have a look at that? I mean, I just want to show you this is true. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22. If a Bible's newer to you, big number 2, little number 22. Ephesians 2, 22. And in him, in Jesus, you too, group of Christians in Ephesus, are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. 40 days after Jesus returned to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to earth. You'll know the story, lots of you, Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. I told you, we're trying to cover quite a lot of Bible, okay? So Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost, the Spirit comes, and the Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. Fully God and yet distinct from the Father and Son. And he comes to earth, his presence come down, just like we saw it come down in the tent and we saw it come down in the temple. So too, God's presence comes down on his people as he sends the Holy Spirit. Now, in one way, we can say, well, where does the Holy Spirit live? And the answer is that he lives in the believer. In Corinthians chapter 6, it says that you are the temple of the living God. You personally, if you have the Holy Spirit in you by faith in Jesus. But actually, there's another sense I want to think about today. And it's this sense in Ephesians that he's not just in you as an individual. It's not just about you and God. Actually, he's building a living, moving, breathing temple on earth in which he dwells by his Spirit. The church. The gathered people of God, the rescued, saved, cleaned up people of God, we become the dwelling place of God on earth. And that begs the question as well, doesn't it? Who is the church? Who really is the church? I mean, you can walk the streets of London and you can see people who have the title church everywhere. You know, we are a church, we are Christian, but where does God dwell? What really is the church? Well, that's where Ephesians 2 helps us. And I want to put it like this morning, if I can get this thing working. That's not at all what we were hoping for. Anyway, here it is, okay? Nothing to do with that. But the church, which is God's home on earth, let me tell you this, the church is those who are built on Jesus. So have a look with me at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. It's talking about the Christians, and it says they are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. It describes Jesus as a cornerstone. Now, I'm guessing if you've hung around church for a while, you know what that is. But if you hadn't, then you think, well, what is that? Why would you call Jesus a cornerstone? But in an ancient building, a cornerstone is the most crucial stone in a building. It's the stone upon which the whole building is based and built and aligned. It's everything sits on this stone and depends on this stone for the building to take shape. And you see what it's communicating about Jesus? Who is the church? It is all those who are building on Jesus. Whose faith is in Jesus, to forgive their sins that they might come near to God, to come close to God by trusting in what he did at the cross and in the resurrection. Those are those who are building on Jesus, who have Christ as their cornerstone. And that's why I chose to read the whole of chapter 2 this morning. Because that's what whole of chapter 2 is about, isn't it? You were dead in your sins, but Christ made you alive. You were far away from God, but Jesus brought you near. You had no access to God, but Jesus, by his blood shed on the cross, has given us access to the Father. You see that picture? It's all about Jesus. What is church about, or should be about? It's all about Jesus. We are nothing without Jesus. Who is this living temple in which God dwells on earth today? It's those built on Jesus, the cornerstone of Jesus, who are trusting in Jesus, whose hopes are pinned on Jesus. That's the church. And it's not just this little local gathering, okay? If you think about this, who is Ephesians describing? Actually, it's describing a huge building. Thankfully, it's much bigger than this little group of people here. This is describing everyone who has ever believed in the Lord Jesus from the moment that he was here on earth and before, actually, if you want to push me on that later, and all the way through to today, all across the nations. There is this living building made up of believers who are building on Jesus, who are built on the cornerstone. And that is a huge building. And you could call that, if you want, and we did this at Grow Group recently, but you could call that the Big C Church. Capital C Church. That is this building that exists all over the world right now, where God dwells by his Spirit. But how do you taste and how do you experience the dwelling place of God on earth? In local churches like this one, where a group of people get together and they say, we are building on Jesus. Our hope is in Jesus. I am only going to be forgiven because of what Jesus did at the cross. When a group of people like that get together and say, we are building on Christ the cornerstone, that is an expression of the big church, right here, locally. And that is the place that God dwells. Is this making sense to people? The living temple of God on earth is those with faith in Jesus Christ. And the church is not just that which is built on Jesus, but it's actually being built by Jesus. See, have a look at chapter 2, verse 21. In him, in Jesus, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Jesus, from his throne in heaven, is fitting people together like a jigsaw puzzle. He's building his eternal dwelling place. And he says, oh, look, there's that guy in that block of flats over there. And he's going to become part of my building. And he takes people, and he takes someone from the estate over there. And he adds them in. And he takes them from Warwick Road. And he takes them from Hazelbury Road. And like a jigsaw puzzle, he fits it together. And it all comes together. Not because, you know, actually we are such a diverse group of people, aren't we? You know, we could maybe find a few other things in common. But what is it that fits us together? It's Jesus. Jesus plugs us together. You see, look what it says, verse 21. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises. It's growing to become this holy, this cleaned up temple in which God dwells by his Spirit. Every time someone puts their faith in Jesus, they're added into this building. Now, I don't want to offend you this morning, but if you're a Christian here, you're a brick. but yeah, that's good. Yeah. But you are. Not a dead object that sits in a wall, but you're a living brick. Peter describes it that you were a living temple. You know, we're living stones. And you are connected. Now think about a brick. It's connected to at least five other bricks, isn't it, in a building? Got two underneath it, two on either side of it. Maybe more. It maybe touches more. But that's what we're like. We're like this six bricks. Someone's working it out for us. Here we are. We're connected. We're connected into one another. We're joined together by Jesus. Not by anything else. By him. It's not by the way we sing. It's not by the way we choose to pray. It's not by our gifts. What is it that joins us together? Jesus. Jesus, his cross, his resurrection, his return. That's what joins the church together. And so, I've really gone on already. Is that the time? That's incredible. Okay, so listen, we're here. The church. That is the church. You've got to spell it out. What is it? Where does God dwell on earth? Where do you encounter him? Where do you meet him? Where do you engage in relationship with him? Well, it's always throughout the Bible been in the places where he dwells. The garden, the tent, the temple, in the Lord Jesus. But now it's through his church. Because that's where we meet Jesus. That's where we encounter God. And so actually you can see, can't you, that church is much more than just a club. Because it's what God is up to. And I hope that just begins to change the way that you think about church. Church isn't just something you rock up to on a Sunday morning. Church is the living temple of God on earth, where he dwells, where he lives, where you can engage and encounter God in his fullness. Now, what I'm going to do briefly, and I really have robbed us of time, I'm sorry about that, but here we go. I'm going to try and take you through four things about this home, okay? I want to change your mind about church. We could spend weeks doing this, but I'm going to go for a whirlwind four things, okay? You ready? You with me? Good. Here's thing number one. Could you move it on first? Here we go. Oh, yes. God's church should be a word-centered home. If this is where he dwells, what should it feel like? What should it be like? It should be word, Bible-centered. Over the last 2 weeks or so, my youngest child, Zebulun, has started to wake up in the night time a couple of times. And when you're not used to it, it kind of really throws your system again. But normally one of Emma or I, we kind of fumble our way out of our bedroom, down the stairs, and you know, Zebby's got the siren going, wah! And you're kind of trying to follow your way around. And you know, we could turn on a light, I suppose, but actually it feels better at night not to turn on a light. And you know, you fling open the door and you're there, you're in a dark room. Now listen, think about this with me for a moment, okay? When Zebby can't see me, how does he experience the fact that I'm there? My voice. You see that? It's a pitch black room. He can't see me. I could turn on the light. That would help, wouldn't it? But how does he know I'm there? How does he experience my presence? By my voice. Hey, it's okay, Zebby. Stop crying. Or, Zebby, why are you crying? I want to sleep. He gets this. He experiences it by what I say. You know, there are perhaps other ways like touch, but when you cannot see, what is it? It's his word, it's my word. And actually, can I say that the same is true about the presence of God today in his living temple? How do you experience God? It's when his word and his spirit come together and you listen to him and he deals with us. Isn't that a beautiful thing? You know, people say, why do you put so much emphasis on the Bible at your church? Can't we do kind of more cool stuff, you know, kind of experience? No! Because there is no other way that we will experience the presence of God more fully. Notice that, more fully than when we hear his word. That's how he deals with us. That gentle word for the weak. That rebuke for the sinner. That word that soothes us when we're weeping over something. An encouragement for the weary. See, I wonder this morning if we've come with too small a view of the Bible. It's just a book. No. It is with this book, with his words, and with his spirit which he has sent from heaven to us, that we encounter the presence of God among us. That he deals with us, that he loves us, that he walks with us like he did in the garden, that he commands us like he did in the tent with the things that we should do. Please don't sideline the Bible, because the Bible is how we experience the presence of God on earth today. God's home on earth should be a word-centered home, because how else will God be experienced among us? Now I know there are other ways, and I'm not limiting it, but this is the primary way that God's presence is felt. And I can prove that to you. Just look at chapter 2, verse 20. He's describing the church there, and he says, how is the church built? What is it building on? Yes, on Christ, but how do we know Christ? Look at verse 20. It's built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. A building will collapse without a strong foundation. And what is the foundation of which keeps a church standing? It's the word of God. It's the Bible. The apostles and the prophets, which is really what we now have as the whole Bible, keeps the building standing. It's thing number one. Thing number two, God's home is a growing home. If I remember my biology correctly, the school is ever distant. But if I remember it correctly, it's true to say, isn't it, that a living thing is a growing thing. Sean, is that right? You taught science, didn't you? A living thing's a growing thing? Yeah, that's right. Good. I did remember something at school. That's a helpful thing.
Now listen, if that is true, if it's true of a plant, if it's true of an animal or a cell or whatever it may be, can I tell you that it has to then be true about the church? Because the church is a living thing. It's not a dead thing. It's not a static thing. This is the living temple of God in which he dwells by his Holy Spirit. And therefore, the implication of this is that we should expect growth. Now actually, we could, if we had time, we could talk about the fact that, well, we should be growing in all sorts of ways. We should be growing to become like Jesus. We should be growing in our gentleness towards one another and our love towards one another. But actually, one of the things I want to particularly think about is we should be growing in numbers. Why? Because Jesus is building his church. It's a living thing, and living things grow. That's the context of this letter. All right. If you think I'm plucking that out of the air, that's the whole reason Paul is writing. See, just look at chapter 2, verse 22 again. He's just describing to them that in him, you too, you group of Christians, local Christians in this place called Ephesus, are being built together to become this dwelling place in which God lives. You've been added in. Paul went to Ephesus. He preached the gospel of Jesus, and they believed the message, and they became part of this living building. And actually, that is true today. If you have put your faith in Jesus, you have been added into this living temple in which God dwells by his Spirit. It's an amazing picture, isn't it? You've become a stone, which is far bigger than... This is just kind of like a little part. This is like the toilet area. And the building is like massive. It's huge. It's like, it's much bigger than here. You know, we're just like a little outbuilding. You know, we're just this kind of tiny little pocket of it here. But we're connected to one another, but we're also connected to other people who believe in Christ all over this world. See, this is an expression of it. But it's a huge building, a growing home. And here's a couple of challenges. Number one, are you expecting that this little church will grow? Do you expect that at some point we will outgrow this building? Why? Not because we're doing anything clever, but because it's a living temple and living things grow. As we preach Jesus to our community, is your expectation, oh, well, no one will listen to us? Well, maybe that's true, but it should also be, no, as we preach Jesus, Jesus is going to add people into his temple. So are you expecting it? And are you expecting growing pains? So if something grows, it hurts. And I remember getting growing pains as a kid. This kind of knee pain. It's agonizing as you were growing up. And as a church grows, it gets painful sometimes. It gets painful perhaps because you walk through the door and suddenly you don't know everyone anymore. It gets painful because people are sort of serving in lots of different directions and maybe they don't have as much time for you as you'd like them to have. It gets painful because I'm really annoying and I wind people up, and when you put me next to someone it winds them up, and it's true probably for all of us. And there's growing pains when this building grows. Are you ready for growing pains? Jesus holds the building together. You know, in Ephesus, the Christians there were two groups of really diverse people. They were Jews and they were Gentiles. Now, we're not kind of so acutely aware of that division anymore, but they couldn't be more different. And suddenly, Jesus had added them together in one church and there were fireworks. Okay, that's basically the bottom line of what happened. And Paul is saying, look, guys, Jesus has brought you together. You've got to get on. And if we were to go around this room, and I know lots of you quite well, but we represent such a diverse background of churches and church experiences and ways of doing things. You know, some of you think that a bunch of us stand there looking like corpses when we sing, and some of you wish we'd be dancing a bit more when we sing, and some of you pray in a certain way, and some of you do this. And actually, if we focus on those things, then we might as well all just pack up and go home. But a building grows together in Jesus. In his cross, in his resurrection. And what is going to keep Silver Street Community Church plugged in together? What is going to keep us growing and moving in the right direction without falling apart? It's as we focus on Jesus and his cross and his resurrection and his return as judge and his day that's coming. That's what will keep us together. So are you ready to grow? Are you ready for growing pains? And are you prepared to be a builder? That's the other thing I got for you. Something grows. It takes people to be at work. And one of the amazing things is Jesus doesn't need us to grow his church. But he loves to use us.
And you could get out there and you could be part of his building team. Building in the sense that, why don't you go and tell some people about Jesus? Why don't you pray for an opportunity this week and pray for it to be an obvious one so you don't miss it? Jesus, I want to tell someone about you this week. I want to tell someone about the hope that I have in you. And become part of the building team. Because how does Jesus add to his church? It says people preach Jesus, people believe, and people are added in. It's a growing church. And be joyful. Be joyful. When someone gets added into the church, don't think, oh, someone's taken my seat. How annoying. Be thinking, oh, Jesus has added somebody else to the living temple, which is going to be part of this forever home. That's what we should be, joyful in growth. Every time the building grows. Church is on a journey towards God's home. How are we doing for time? We're okay. Still got a few minutes. Okay, you ready? Still with me? Thing number three. Church. Now I'm going to see some of you fall off your chair here. But bear in mind what I've told you this morning about church. Church is the best place on earth to be. Yeah. Some of you are like, now having to wake yourself up. Church, and just remember that church does not just mean Sunday morning gathering like this, okay? Church is the community of those building on Christ, building on the cornerstone. Church is the best place on earth to be. I don't know if you have a happy place. Gareth's new happy place is White Webs, where he gets to walk the door. But you know, you have a happy place. Like mine's Lee Valley Whitewater Rafting Centre. If the sun's out, it's just a beautiful place to be. Really happy place. But actually, can I tell you that actually, if we understand church properly, then church should be our happy place. Because there is nowhere on earth that is better to be than the place where God dwells by his Spirit. Because actually, you know, think about it. If you'd have been wandering the earth and Eden was around, you would have been a loony not to want to be in Eden. It was a beautiful place. It was where God lived. It was where he talked with Adam and Eve. And actually, it was the centre of his presence. It was the place where they engaged in relationship with him. Everyone looked on to this nation of Israel that had this weird tent in the middle. And in this tent, God dwelt. And people would look on and say, well, what other nation is like this nation that has their God living so close to them? That's what people used to say. But we have an even greater privilege. Not restricted access, but full access to God. We sit here, we pray, he speaks to us. We hear him and he hears us. And what a privilege. And actually, you know, sometimes you may get that feeling. And I'm not trying to pick at people, okay? This is just genuinely what I was thinking about this week. We get that feeling, don't we? We think, oh, it's Sunday morning. I could just do with an extra couple of hours in bed. I've had a really hard week. You get to Tuesday evening, perhaps, it's grow group, and you know, you're having to waft down your evening meal because grow group starts at 8. And you think, it would be much easier just not to go. Why should I bother? Or maybe, and I know that this is very real for some of you, but maybe you've come out of churches where they've lost their way, and actually it's just damaged you and damaged your view of church and damaged your view of what church is. And you're thinking, I can't be bothered with church anymore. But actually, given what we've seen from the scriptures today, can I say that the question shouldn't be, why should I bother with church? The question should be, why wouldn't I bother with church? That makes sense. It's not, why should I bother? It should be, why shouldn't I bother? Because actually, church is the place where God dwells. Church is the place where you engage with him and engage with those that he saved. Church is the place where we encounter God in near relationship. Why wouldn't you want to be part of the group of people that Jesus is cementing and gathering together? Think about it like this. You know, actually, we're going to... don't want to put you off, but we're going to spend eternity together. So you're going to get enough of us then, so you might as well warm up now, hey? But, you know, but why wouldn't you want to be with the group of people that you're going to spend the rest of eternity with? You know, why wouldn't you want to be part of a group of people that are being cemented and joined together by Jesus? Why wouldn't you? You know, the way Jesus works sometimes is to be working through one another. You know, how does he bring God's word to us sometimes? It's through another friend, isn't it? Now, you may call that whatever. You may call that prophecy. You may call that whatever it is. But we bring God's word to one another. And we encourage one another. And so we need one another. We're joined together in Christ. Actually, it's not... Am I part of church or not? You are part of church. If you believe in Jesus, you are part of church. It's a fact. But it's just whether you express that by coming along and being part of a local group of believers. You don't want to be like a brick on a building site that's kind of lonely sitting outside of the building. Do you? You don't want to be kind of this lone brick. You want to be part of the building. You want to be part of what Jesus is doing in the world today. And so, I know there's problems in church. I know we upset one another. But you know what? The Word of God helps us to deal with that. When you upset someone in your workplace, I bet they'll deal with it very differently to how they would deal with it in a church. Because we've got God's Word to help us deal with when we wind each other up the wrong way. So church matters, you see. It's the best place on earth to be. And then lastly, I just want to say it's a home in progress. Okay. Now, it's in progress in all sorts of ways. But the thing that I particularly want us to think about is this. That actually the church is on a journey somewhere. And I'm going to put this here. This is our second to last picture for this whole series. Where are you? Where are we on God's story? As he tells this story of Genesis to Revelation, as he tells this story of moving everything towards this day in history, can I tell you that we have the joy of being on the home straight? I don't know, when you watch the relay, what leg you'd like to run the most? I think the home straight's the glory straight, isn't it? Where you're kind of like, yeah, look at me. Unless you're last, of course. But it's the home straight. And you're running down. It's like the glory moment. And do you know what? That God has picked that this group of people are on the glory straight. We're on the home straight to heaven. Church is the place where Jesus is gathering people for this great moment that's coming. This great day in history when he will dwell with his people forever. Church is on a journey to God's forever home. And a local church built on Jesus, built by Jesus, is the way that Jesus is gathering and saving and cleaning people up to be part of his forever home. Church isn't an option for Jesus, because it's the way that he is picking to work in this world. As he takes people, saves them, adds them into his temple, and then uses them to reach more people. And the church, this living temple, becomes bigger and bigger. And so let me go back to where we started. Church is ... What is church? Church is not a club. Church is not just an event on a Sunday morning. Church shouldn't be optional for the believer. Church is the living temple of God on earth. And maybe sometimes we get afraid to invite people to church because it's a bit weird. But actually, do you know what? Church is the place on earth where they're going to meet God. In 1 Corinthians 14, which one of our partner churches is preaching this morning, it's a passage, but it talks about tongues and prophecy. But at the end of the day, what is the goal of that chapter? It says that someone can walk out of a meeting of the church gathered and can say, wow, God is really among you. And that's what happens when people walk into an environment where the Spirit is in us, where the Word is opened, and God shows his presence is with us. And so church is the home straight. And we, please get this, we are probably the most privileged people on this planet to be part of this living temple. This is Eden on earth. Sorry to ruin that picture of Eden, but this is. Because this is where we gather. This is where we walk with God and we talk with him. And if you're not part of that church, if you're not yet part of this living temple, then I hope today it's become very obvious that the way that you become part of that living temple is by building on Jesus. By saying, the only way that I can come near to God in relationship is if Jesus deals with my sin. If Jesus cleanses me up. And if Jesus promises to make me part of this home that's coming. So I hope I've changed your mind about church this morning. And I hope that church will be something we start to take a bit more seriously, perhaps, or a bit differently. Or perhaps it's just confirmed to you, no, church is where I should be, because it's where Jesus is doing something on earth today. Let's bow our heads, shall we, and pray, and then we'll sing together.